This morning, if you'll turn in your Bibles with me, let's go to Luke, let's say around the 14th chapter, should take care of us. Luke, the 14th chapter. I love illustrations. And sometimes they're not really illustrations. They're real things. We have, over these first 2 weeks, we've dealt with two different areas, because if I want to go to a different place in my life, if I want to grow, really grow, then there are steps and things I have to implement into my life and things I have to do. The first week, we dealt with what? You can't forget that. Boudin and pepper jack cheese. Now, we were talking about you got to have what in your life? You got to have experiences. I mean, some of them are good experiences, some of them are not good experiences. Some experiences scare you to death, but you get to walk away and say, I did it. I'll never do it again, but I did it. I think there are people that kind of felt that way yesterday when we were finally got a chance to take the boat out some, and I think Joanna got the kneeboard for the first time, and I get to pull the tube, and that's the fun part I have. Is I don't usually get in the water. I don't do anything. I'm just the driver, designated driver, and so I load him two or three on that tube, and it's just, you know, I just do my best to sling them off, and you know, and to watch them go off of that tube, there's just nothing like it. When you hit that wave, and you just look it back, you're doing good. Hit that water hard. And so it's experiences. And so you decide in life things you want to do and don't want to do. And if you'd like to hook up with me sometime to do that, I'll be more than happy to pull you on the tube. Just let me know. If you're a young person, I will fix you up. I enjoy that. I enjoy it. We will go and we will take care of that problem. And so life is experiences. The more experiences I have, some of them good, some of them bad, I know more. And knowing more gives me the opportunity, as we learned last week, to do the second thing, which is to do what? Make choices, decisions. Because my experiences always open up options in my life. More experiences I got, more options I got. If I go to a restaurant, as we talked about, and I look at a menu, well, if I've eaten most everything on that menu, I've got options. But if all I've ever eaten is a hamburger, then you know what? I don't know if I like it. I'll just get the hamburger again. And I can live my whole life missing out on good things only because I haven't experienced them or too scared to experience them. And then today, as we move through all of this process of experience, leads to options, leads to choices, which ultimately will take me to destinations. Now today I need you to understand it at this place. Every one of us in here are at different levels, even though we may have the same stuff. Every one of us in this room can be at different levels with the same thing. Do you know there's people in here that have peace? There are people in here that are just have peace. But now they may not have peace at the level you have peace. Just because they have peace doesn't mean they've got it at the same level. There are levels. There's higher levels and lower levels of joy. We all walked in here this morning, and if I asked you, as you walked in, do you have the joy of the Lord this morning? Yes, I do. Yes, I've got the joy of the Lord. But now, in my mind, in your mind, that might mean two totally different things. It might mean, I have the joy of the Lord, therefore this is the day He's made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I've come in excited, fired up, can't stand still. You may just say, I know I got it. I know it. I know I know deep down in my heart I got the joy of the Lord. Well, boy, you don't look like it. I'm just going through some stuff, but I got Him. And so every one of us have different levels in here. And so in these decisions and in this destination, just because I'm reaching a destination doesn't mean that's the end of the line. Just because I have reached a certain plateau, now all of a sudden I'm through in life. Now I'm just going to live the next 30 years knowing what I know, and I've conquered that, and I've done it, so now I can survive. And to some level, I've got it. But God is constantly wanting us to take it from level to level, or as the Apostle Paul would say, I always am continually moving from glory to glory to glory to glory. It is a constant in my life that I am growing in this. See, I could have said 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I know how to preach. I don't need nobody to tell me how to preach. I don't need nobody to bring lights or any of this stuff. I don't need illustrations. I preached the first 20 years nearly of my life without illustrations. I don't need illustrations. I know what I'm doing. And I could have stayed at that level. Nobody would have been mad, and there would have been a certain number of people that would have liked me at that level, and I could have said, I know how to sing. I've been singing redback hymnals all my life. I've been singing that style of music, and I'm going to keep singing that style of music. I don't care what everybody else is going to do. I'm just going to stay right where I'm at, and I could have stayed at that level. Is there anything wrong at that level? Absolutely not. You're going to meet people in your life that are at different levels than you. It doesn't mean they're worse than you or better than you. They're just living life at a different level. Now, going with me to Luke 14, let's pick up at verse 26 and let's see how Jesus, speaking to people who want to be disciples, who want to grow, because now I understand that I need experience in my life to make good decisions in my life, to get me to the best destiny in my life. Well, now, when you bring Jesus into this, now notice how He says this. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his what? See, I have a hard enough time just living inside of, okay, I'm going to trust God, I'm not going to listen to nobody else. But you are really talking when you say, I'm not even going to listen to myself. But if you're going to come to Christ, He said, listen, you've got to hate. And what word hate does not mean that you just stick your nose up and you don't like them. What it means is your opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. Your wife's opinion doesn't matter. Your husband's opinion doesn't matter. And we're not talking about normal day life. We're talking about the experiences leading to the destinies of your life. We're not talking about whether you need to buy 2% milk or skim milk. That's not something we need to argue and fuss over. That's not something I don't have to listen to you. If you say, hey, Brother Lloyd, skim milk's a lot better for you. You don't have the fat, and it's going to be better for you. Good, that's a good thing. I'll receive that. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about my life's destinies. I'm talking about what I was called to do, what I have to do to be happy. I can be doing everything everybody wants and be miserable. I've got to find those places that I've been called to, my destiny, my place in my life, no matter what it is. And I can't rely on somebody else to tell me it's a good thing or a bad thing. And Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, then you're going to have to learn to not listen to mom. And you're going to have to learn not to listen to dad or your wife or your kids or anybody. You can't even listen to yourself. Because here's the thing. You're basing all of your decisions on the experiences you've had thus far. And to follow me and be my disciple means automatically I'm going to take you into a place you're not familiar. I'm going to take you into a place you can't make a good decision because you have nothing to guide it by. You've never been here. You don't know what decision to make. So you're going to have to learn that whatever I say, whenever I say it, how I say it, get it done. Do it right then. Don't wait 2 weeks. Don't wait 4 weeks. Do it right then and now, because I'm going to be that voice, that person in your life that is going to help you move forward. Now, I know this is difficult, but this is His words. He cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So it can't be just the simple fact that I'm going to, okay, Lord, I'm not going to listen to nobody. I'm just going to listen to Your Word. Your Word, Lord. You ever meet people like this? They don't do nothing. But they can quote out their ears every word, every scripture. Well, you know what it says over here and so-and-so. You know what it says? Hadn't done nothing. Nobody bringing them. No winning souls. No anything. But man, they can quote Scripture. They can beat you down with Scripture. You know why? Because the problem is, it isn't just enough to deny myself and to feel myself. Notice what I must do. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come, that's an active word. So some of us this morning say, well, Pastor, that's me now. I'm that way. And we judge that because we actually got up this morning and made it to church. I mean, I'm here. That's not bearing a cross. I mean literally living it out, taking it and putting it on the road, and seeing will it work. Trusting it as God gives it and living it out in my day-to-day life. A disciple has to walk it out. There has to be the word knowledge that God gives me, but there has to be the experience knowledge that goes along with it, because it's the experience knowledge that all of a sudden makes it concrete in my life. You can't always live your life and say, well, I heard. Well, I heard. Sooner or later, you've got to have places in your life where you say, I've done that. I've been there. There's nothing that change the conversation more. You can have three people talking about how it is to run a business, and all of a sudden somebody can stand up and say, look, I've owned a business. Now the rest of them feel real dumb about that moment, because they know they're already talking to somebody who doesn't just have head knowledge, but he's actually walked it out. And now all of a sudden, now I've got to listen to whether I like him or not. He has experience I don't have. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to do what? Mock him. That's where we get into this hiding in our lives. It's where we try to act like we're somebody. We put stickers on our back of our pickups to make people think we're tough, and we got it made. But the fact really is that we're hiding from the fact that we've never finished the tower. We said we were going to do it. We talked about how we were going to do better. We said we were going to do different, but we still stuck in the same place. And if anybody knew it, they would do what at us? They would laugh. They would mock. So we learned to hide. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and counseleth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh with him at 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my. The same way. It works the same way. You have to say, from the experiences I have in my life, I know that I need somebody to help me decide and make big decisions for my future. Jesus said, if you don't pick me as that person, you can't be my disciple. Until you can come to the understanding that I am the truth. I don't just know some truth. I am the truth. I don't know a way. I am the way. So if anybody says, well, let's go this way. No, he's the way. We ought to try this. No, let's do it Jesus' way. Do you see how you can get in trouble in life doing this? We can get in a lot of trouble real quick. Not from doing anything wrong, but just by constantly pointing out to people on a regular basis, my mom was a master at Tim. You know the Lord wouldn't be happy with that. You know that. You know that ain't what God says to do. And she would continually say, well, what's wrong with it? I didn't say there was anything wrong with it then. I said, that's not God's way. Now you have to choose right from that moment whether I'm going to choose God's way, which is the way, the truth, the light, or I'm just going to try to dig me out a new path. And when we look back on our lives and all our big mistakes, I guarantee you there was Scripture that said, don't do that. Well, I signed that loan with somebody,
And they told me they'd pay me $50 a month to help pay it back. And God tells us very quickly, be careful, don't go connecting yourself or binding yourself with somebody, because anybody you go into contract with, you are a debtor now to that person.
Oh, okay.
Probably should have thought about it, should have checked their track record. The fact that they already owe five other people and hadn't paid them back, it probably was not a wise idea to co-sign for them myself.
It's all right. Now, I need you to understand something. And this is what I want to tell you. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. See, in the process of growing in my life, I have to understand that I'm not what I want to be yet. But as I'm walking this thing out, I am definitely not what I used to be. That's how I realized, because in this world that we live in, our biggest problem is running into people that will finish the level that they're at so that they can move to the next level. This generation really bothers me. And it's not all your fault. There's really not a lot to do. And that's scary. When we were growing up, there was a lot to do. I mean, there was mowing grass, and there was working, and all this type of stuff, and you could always pick up a part-time job doing this, even when you were 12 and 13 and 14 years old. And so in the process of life, we were constantly learning specific things. And this is what we were guaranteed when we were growing up. We were guaranteed that if you work hard, and you try, and you do all that you can do, you will get ahead. That's what we were told. Now, we have raised a generation that feels entitled. I mean, they'll borrow money from their mama just to get a new tattoo. You got to borrow money because you ain't got money to do something dumb to yourself. They don't work. Now, they would work if you'd give them the job that they're looking for, because here's the job they're looking for. They're looking for a job that you understand that they have entitlements. In other words, I will work for you. But now, if I show up late, don't be getting mad at me now. I got stuff in my life. I got stuff going on. I can't promise I'll be there on time ever. And hey, this working weekend stuff calling me and telling me, look, I got stuff I do. I hang out with my buddies, my friends. I can't do it. Look, if this job's going to be work, then let's just call it off right now. Because you're going to mess up my life. What life? You sit in front of a TV or a GameCube waiting for the managerial position. And this generation sits there. You want to work? What do you want me to do? Well, let's start right here. I don't really like that stuff. You ain't got anything else I can do? Just say amen. Just agree with me. You don't agree. And notice, I didn't say it was their fault. I started by saying that because they didn't grow up with dad saying, go get the push mower, get out in the yard, and get the grass cut. If you don't get it done, I'm going to wear your hide out. They didn't get that. See, I got that. And if I said, well, what are you going to give me? Lunch? You like eating, don't you? Oh, I had that deal with my son this week. Nathan's one job in life, take out the garbage. Taylor has been promoted from taking out the garbage, and now he's the dishwasher. Hey, that's a promotion. You don't want to dig in that garbage can and have to wash that thing out. Taylor did it for years. That was his job. I wasn't going to do it for him. And now he does the dishes. I've had to show Taylor how to do dishes. I've had to show him how to set the sink, how to get everything, how to take it out, how to put it over. I had to show him all those stuff. Now, it wasn't just get in there and wash dishes. No, I had to show him how to do it. Now, Taylor knows how. Now, I stand back. Taylor, them dishes are dirty. My dishes are in there. His mom's dishes are in there. His dishes are in there. Nathan's dishes are in there. Caitlin's dishes are in there. That don't seem fair. I wash mine. No, you washing all the dishes. And Nathan's now been promoted to the garbage.
Caitlin has the emptying the little garbage cans and putting the bags back in. That's her job. She has to do that once a week. And so Nathan was standing there, "I don't want to take out the garbage. I don't want to take out the garbage." I said, "Fine, son. Don't take out the garbage." I said, "But you ain't eating." "That's fine." I said, "What is that?" I said, "Oh, by the way, tomorrow is fair day at your school, isn't it? You won't be getting no money for that." I said, "And tomorrow morning, when I take the other two to school, I'll get you up early enough because it's about a 3-mile walk for you to school." And we had that conversation for about 3 minutes with me explaining to him all the things. I said, "You like your bed?" I said, "In the morning, you also have to get your clothes together. They won't be ironed." About 2 minutes later, "I'll get the garbage." And I looked at him and I said, No, I'll get the garbage. I'll get it. Don't you worry, son. I don't want you to have to do no more than you want to do." I done got hot by then. No, you just go sit in your room, play video games. You just enjoy your life, Nathan." No, Dad, I'll get it. But he was in there tearing that garbage, getting that garbage out. Because he understood, life is not like how I got it figured out in my head. Life can be good to me if I'm willing to do and move and work towards something. And that's what we were taught. But come on now, how many of us get treated that way, kids, today? Lord, you go to your room crying. Because life isn't supposed to be that way. I've been told if I go to school and I go to college and I do this and I'll get this great job and I'll have my own apartment. How life was going to be so good when you were going to grow up? Kids have that mindset. It's going to be good. Because you get letters in the mail. You know, they'll go, "Did I get a letter today, Mom?" "No, you didn't get no letter. Nobody ever sends me mail." But they don't realize as they grow up, one day they actually have the apartment, they actually have that all them letters are not love letters and they're not friend letters. They're bills. "Yeah, I got a letter from Community Bank this week. I got a letter from the water company. I got a letter from the gas company. I got a letter from the electric company." Everybody just wants to send me letters now. Just say, "Dear Mr. Lott." Just taking all their time to write me letters. And if you don't teach them that, they will get in their mind. And what happens is, one day it goes from this world where I'm sitting there doing this, to the next day I got a job, I got a car, I got this, and it's too much for them at one time. It's not the kids' fault. It's just gone from doing absolutely nothing to having to do it all in one kick. And that's overwhelming for me, you, anybody. Don't do them that way. Teach them that there is a mindset that has to be, "I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be." Three things this morning I need to get to you. Three things and I'll be through. Our world is full of people that start stuff and never finish it. It's the statement of our world today. It's the statement. I heard somebody yesterday was talking about it, had an employee. And they didn't show up to work. They didn't know if they quit, didn't know what, they just didn't show up, didn't call, didn't do nothing. So they called the house and I talked to so-and-so. They got on the phone. "Hey, you weren't at work today. Are you quitting or something?" Yeah, I quit. "Well, thanks for letting us know." "Okay." Our problem is that we never finish. And the bad thing is, probably about 3 weeks from now, they'll go to that same place and say,
"Look, they need a reference from me. You think you could get somebody to say something?"
I'm not preaching something that's not real. I'm preaching this morning stuff that will help you get from where you are to where you need to be in your life. There's some older people in here that will shake their head and say, "He's telling you the truth. He's trying to help you, save you some, probably about 10 years worth of pain." People always starting stuff, never finishing. I mean, they start a business. They'll start
this. They're going to start that. They're going to stop doing this. They're going to get... And we never finish anything. These three things I need you to know. I need you to realize how you can move in your life from where you are to what you're going to be. And what you are right now is not the end of the line. Number one, when you are going to move forward in your life, when you are going to move from level to level to level, first thing you have to do is realize is that I must live my life in phases. Look at the person beside you and say, live your life in phases. See, we don't like the phase we're in. That's why 10-year-old girls put all the junk on and try to look like they're 40. And that's why the 40-year-olds put all the junk on and try to look like they're 20. We don't like the phase we're in. We don't like where our life is. We're upset. I don't like this phase. I want this phase over with. And we try not to finish that phase. We try to escape it or work around it or... But you're going to have to learn in life to enjoy and live the phase of your life and celebrate your life in phases. There was a day when I was in high school. I went to the prom. I did all of those things. That was a phase of my life. I've got a picture with me and four of the guys standing there like this right here with our shades on. And we're all going to the prom. And we're going to go jam and do all the stuff we did. And I'm thinking, that was a phase. Every now and then I'll go back and look at that picture. I said, that was a cool time of life. It was. But I walked by my counter the other day and... there was a picture of last year, me and the kids, and all of us had our brown shirts on, and you may have got one for Christmas. We had some different ones taken, and one of them was just us sitting there, and I looked at that, and I said, that is so cool. That's the phase I'm in. I'm the dad of three children, the husband of a lease lot. It's where I'm at in my life. I, Pastor Ross said, this is my phase of my life. And the problem is that because we don't finish things, we never get to allow ourselves to move to the next level. We just simply want the next level. We just simply say, look, when I can get there, let me know. I sure would like to live up there. Well, you've got to learn to live here. And then learn to live here. And then get real comfortable here so that the next one ain't too bad. That's too big a jump. It's too big a step. But in our lives, that's what we try to do. I mean, everything is meant for celebrating phases of your life. For some of you, you just graduated high school or you've been to graduations or you got this. Can I tell you that's what that is? They spent 12 years of their life, 13 counting kindergarten, and they've gone through and now they finished something. They finished a level in their life. Now, to them, they don't grasp it yet. But what they've accomplished is the fact that they've told everybody, I can finish something. When it's tough, when it's hard, when I've got to do what's not comfortable, when I've got to stay up late, when I've got to do all that I've got to do, I have the ability to finish something. That's why on your resume, the very first question they ask, do you have a high school education? Can you finish anything? They don't ask you color, hair, style. They don't ask you what street you live on too much. Don't care. Did you finish this? Have you finished anything in your life? Because the requirements for this level of work means that you have to have a high school education. And then you've got to have a college education. Then you've got to have so many years of experience doing this job. Now you get to do this job. That's even on a resume. We don't go mad and go up to somebody and say, I don't understand this. Just because I hadn't done it for 10 years, how come I can't get that job? How come I can't be the manager? It's because you don't have the experience to do it. You haven't made the choices, you haven't made the decisions and reached the destinies that prove to us that you actually are capable. That's why Jesus says, listen, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my follower, if you want to be in my group, then you're going to have to prove it and step out and realize that you're going to have to learn to live in levels of your life. And those levels are lived out step by step, phase by phase. See, God was a finisher. In fact, Hebrews 12 and 2 makes it very clear that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's a finisher. When you hang out with Jesus, you're hanging out with somebody. In fact, the whole story of the cross, the whole story, he cries from the cross, it is You're talking about somebody, if you're going to walk with Him, you better be a finisher. You had better be somebody that can step up to the plate and can handle exactly. In fact, the only time He ever got mad at the disciples or frustrated with the disciples was when they could not finish what He's asked them to do. When He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and He knows His time is coming, He's got to finish this. And those three rascals are sleeping. And He looks at them and says, couldn't you at least stay awake? I don't even need you to pray. Couldn't you at least just stay awake and just feel for me? Just a little. Couldn't you finish this thing with me? But I want to tell you, being around finishers is a powerful thing. In fact, God, when He creates the world, starts off by describing Himself as a finisher. But He doesn't do it all at one time. He does it in phases. In fact, He'll start off the first day, He'll say it's pitch dark and the world is without form and void. And He says, let there be light. And He puts light over here and separates light from the darkness. And He says after the first day, it is... No. It's good. He hasn't finished the whole thing. He just finished the first phase. And He says, it's... I have golf clubs right now because I finished. My mom and dad bought golf clubs for me. Bought Trent golf clubs when he finished college and everything. It was like a present. Anybody got presents for their graduation? I mean, that's what you do, isn't it? You send out these cards and you want everybody to give you presents. Because I finished something. I want you to celebrate it with me. I want you to send me something. I want you to know that I did something good. I did something good. I finished. God said, I finished. It's good. Next day, He goes, He creates firmament, separates water from the land. It's good. He keeps doing stars, He keeps doing this, gets the animals, get everything. And each day as He's finishing, He says, it's good. It's good. I'm not where I am supposed to be yet. But I'm a lot further than I used to be. And God is teaching us that mindset. In fact, even when He created the day of rest, you think God needed rest? Took Him 6 days to create the world. You think He said, whew, I'm wore out. No. God said it's a day of rest. Do you know what He did that for? He said, because if you're pushing to accomplish things each week, you need one day to reflect and rest. You can't go through life every single day and not take time to enjoy what you've already done. It's no fun to accumulate stuff and never... I've got an uncle that... He's got Harleys, he's got boats, he's got antique 1950-something T-Birds. Things never get driven, never... He works every day, all the time, does this, collects stuff, but never stops and says, it's good. Let's just get on the bike and let's go ride. No, he's terrified of it. His feet don't even reach the ground. He was just tall. He'd sit on it and be like... He'd have to have somebody drive him around. And I'm thinking, why did you? Because at least my work. But you never enjoy it. You never celebrate it. You go into his house, man, he's so afraid somebody's going to break something. Can't enjoy the furniture. Can't enjoy the pictures. Can't enjoy the knickknacks and the... And a lot of us are like that. We spend so much time and so much energy and so much effort and we work and we do and we go and we never celebrate the fact that I'm here. Some people didn't think I would get here. Didn't believe I would make it to here, but I am here. It doesn't matter if it's diplomas. It doesn't matter if it's gifts. It doesn't matter if it's weight loss. If you want to lose weight, you can't go to Walmart and buy the big giant bucket of Slim Fast and just... And all of a sudden wake up tomorrow and be 20 pounds lighter. Look, that Slim Fast works good. It won't work. No, you have to drink a certain amount of it each day. You have to work out so much each day. And they will look at you and they say, in the month, you might lose... 5 to 10 pounds. The average weight loss is 8 pounds a month. Oh, 8 pounds per month. That means if I'm trying to lose 140 pounds, it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. I know because I have to work out each and every day during the week just about it. And I hate it because I want to work out. I'm one of these that wants to work out. Then, you know, you go to the bathroom, you go to the shower, and you want to take the shirt off, whatever. It's like, see any difference? Now, I don't act like you don't do that because you work out one time and you're like, I feel slimmer. I've been walking for 2 days. Been walking for 2 days. I already feel the difference. I already tell. You can tell it. My leg tightened up. I can tell the difference. I don't even know if I need to do it the rest of the week. I'm already getting so buff. Lord, I keep this up in 3 weeks, I'll be just huge. If I keep growing like this. I'm that type. I want it done now. And now it's like, in 3 weeks, I've been doing sit-ups. I still got this gut. I'm tired of doing sit-ups. I'm tired of doing crunches. I'm tired of picking my legs. I'm tired of doing all that. And how much further I got to do this? And then somebody comes along and says, you know what, you can do all them sit-ups you want, but if you don't work it out in the kitchen, if you don't quit eating that stuff, it won't ever work. And that discourages me even more. So it makes me want to quit. It's like, now I got to quit my food, and I got to still keep doing the working out. I can't even enjoy what I enjoy. I can't do it, and I want to quit. Because I don't like phases. I want it now. I want it now. Don't quit on stuff. Let me give it to you this way, in my life. When God brought me back from school and living my life the way I like to live it, and I've shared with you, I have 4.0, I was going to electrical school, I was set. Living in a 5-room house with 3 bathrooms, with me and another bachelor. We had it made. God called me back. I moved in with my mom and dad, and now I'm thinking, all right, I got to get a job. That wasn't a question. That was a statement. I got to get a job. It wasn't a matter of looking for a job. All these people always look at me like, I'm looking for a job. Oh, son, you ain't looking for a job. You just need to hang around me. I'll give you plenty. Maybe I get paid for it right off, but you just keep working. See, that's the problem. One of the greatest NASCAR guys in the world. You know how he became connected? He always wanted to get connected. One guy that was the big car guy, the guy that was really starting the sport up. You know what he did? He showed up to him, and he went through his classes, did everything he was supposed to, and he said, I need a job. The guy said, I don't have a job right now. He said, but, you know, when one comes open, I'll give it. He said, sir, I'll be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. He said, you don't have to pay me. I'll be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. I want a job. He got there at 7:30, a little bit before the boss got there, and the boss looked at him and he said, son, I ain't got no work. And he went to his office. The boy looked around, found a broom, found a mop, saw that there was a bunch of shavings and stuff that the other mechanics weren't cleaning up. He started sweeping floors. The boss come out about lunchtime and said, who cleaned up all this stuff? He said, that boy's been here all day cleaning up. The boy didn't do it because he had a job. The boy did it because he wanted a job. So I never had a problem asking my mom, dad, if I needed $20, $30. I could go up to them and say, mom, I need some money. You know why? Because I was washing dishes. And I was mowing grass. And I was babysitting my little brothers and sisters when they were leaving. I didn't ask for nothing. I already had earned the right to ask. Does this make any sense? I need y'all to get this in your head because you're going to wonder why you can't become things in your life. And it's because you get what you want. You want to move towards it. But you don't have the mindset that I'm going to finish. I am going to make it. I found a job. Minimum wage, pushing buggies, and cleaning bathrooms. It wasn't even a job nobody even wanted. It's the only one there was. And they told me right up front, look, now you got to go in them women's bathrooms, and it's bad. We done had 2 people quit. I don't know what it is about you ladies, but it's something about bathrooms. Y'all just go crazy in there.
You can go. I kid you not. You go to a men's bathroom in a quick stop. It's not that bad. You open that woman's bathroom in a quick stop. It looks like somebody had a toilet paper fight. Stuff smeared all over the walls. Don't know where it came from. That was my job, pushing buggies. I had to wear a tie. Had to dress up just to go clean bathrooms. Had to wear a tie, and I hate ties. Had to wear a tie. Had to wear this big old thick vest in the grocery business. They had them big thick vests. There wasn't no air coming through them vests. There were no holes in them. It was just big old cotton vest. You sweated from the back. Your back would just be so wet. And somebody who's ever worked in those things knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I'd sit there each day. I'd clock in, put that vest on, have my shirt on, man, my white shirt and tie. I would be all dressed up. And first thing, about 90 degrees outside, Tim, go get the buggies off the block. I undo that vest. Okay, I'll get them. Can you hold my vest? That manager sitting up there in that office. Yeah, just lay it right there, Tim. I won't let nobody get it. No, he didn't look at me and say, Tim, let me go out there with you and hit it. No. He sat right there in that chair and looked over at that desk. Yeah, just leave it right there. I'll make sure nobody gets it. I'd go out there and push him buggies. Come back in, Tim. Need to check the bathrooms. I'd go in there and clean them women's bathrooms, men's bathrooms, as clean as they ever been. I'd walk by them. I wasn't told to. I'd walk by them every so often just to make sure they hadn't got messed up. Wasn't told to. Did that for almost 6 months. Somewhere in the process, whenever things started to happen, whenever they wanted somebody to help them, the managers would always pick, you know, you'd always pick the grunts to do the work for you. And guess who they would always pick? Tim. For long, I didn't have to go push buggies very often. They'd say, Joe, you go get buggies. Tim, you come with me. Yeah, Joe, go get them buggies. And leave your vest up at the front. I wasn't ashamed. I celebrated. Some of y'all ain't never accomplished anything. And because you've never accomplished, accomplishments don't have to be big things. It was a big thing in my life today. The other guy got to go get the buggies, and I got to stay inside. That was a huge day in my life. That let me know you can move far. You may not move very far, but you can move forward. So I'd end up building displays. Cutting boxes and building displays and doing all the type of stuff like that. Had no idea. Within a few months, a job opened up. It was like one day a week. One day a week, they needed somebody to come in and just straighten up the produce. I got the job. So I'd come in on Sundays or Saturdays or whatever day they had, and I would make sure that on their days off, I'd just straighten it up for them. I wasn't supposed to do a bunch. And if there was something they wanted to do, wrap lettuce and stuff like that, we used to have to wrap lettuce. He'd come in with a pallet of lettuce, almost 12 to 15 cases, almost 70, 50 to 70, depending on what side they were, per case. I had to sit there, and buddy, I was a mess. I wasn't told to. He'd just tell me, he said, Tim, while you're in there, I know you're going to be straightening up. And the other guys that would straighten up, you know, they'd straighten up, and then they'd just kind of stand around. And he told me, he said, Tim, while you straighten up, you get a chance, see if you can do some of that lettuce. Can I tell you, that whole pallet was done. I don't care if I had to do it on my time off. That pallet was done. Do you understand? Some of you don't grasp this. I'm telling you how to get ahead. At the level I'm at the bottom level. I'm living life at the bottom. But you know what? I'm going to be the best bottom level person anybody's ever seen. I'm going to work harder than anybody at this level. And when the time comes for somebody to move up to another level, I'm going to be the first one that they're going to pick. I might get looked over once. I might even get looked over twice. But I'm not quitting. Sooner or later, they're going to realize the best thing they got going is right here. If not, God will find me somewhere else. Somebody will walk in this store and say, son, I want you to come work at my store, and I'll pay you more than they pay. I didn't know how it was going to work out. I just knew I had to be the very best at the level that I'm at. At the level I'm working, I've got to be the best employee at doing it unto Christ.
Before long, a position came open in the produce. Guess who got that? So I learned a little bit about it. Then I had to go to do my MIP. Had to move to Memphis. Well, I already worked for Sac and Save, and so I called them and I said, look, I need a job, and I'm going to be living up there for a year or two. Can you find me an opening? See? Because I'm good at that level. They talked to my boss. That was a no-brainer. He told them, whoever you got to fire, you fire him. This is the guy you want working for you. During that process, I had different managers that said, look, we want to put you through the managerial training program. I said, I can't do that. That ain't my calling. I'll work and I'll do what I can, but I can't go through that class because I'll never be a manager for you. Now, one day I'm going to be a preacher and a pastor. I don't know when that day's coming, but I can't change the direction. I already know where I'm supposed to be. I've already made my choices. I've already decided. I didn't come back from Birmingham, Alabama, living in a 5-bedroom house to come back to Mississippi to manage a grocery store. I promise you, I did not do that. So when I moved to Memphis, guess what? They had the largest produce department in the state. It's the biggest grocery store built in the state of Mississippi in South Haven. Guess who set that produce rack every single morning? It took 10 trailers of ice. Not little buckets like this. I'm talking about the rollable kind. It took 10. I put it in, not with these little scoops. I had a shovel, 42 foot, about from here to that wall of ice. Every morning, starting at 4:30 every morning, I set the broccoli. I set the cauliflower. I set the whole thing. 9 o'clock, I was through with that entire 42 foot. Business owners walk in, managers walk in. When they did store shows, they came in to look at our store. Who sets this right? From that, God opened the next position. I went into assistant managers. At the age of 19, 20 years old, around 20, 22, I was already making a schedule for 40, 50, 60-year-old people. Tell them how much they can work and when they can go home. If they didn't treat me right, I cut their hours. Don't you hate that person? They call them bosses. By then, by 21, I was the boss. I fired you and hired you. Now, it's not important. It's not that I was arrogant, because guess what? I used to push buggies. I respected a buggy pusher. Even today, if I go to Walmart, I don't ever go inside and grab a buggy. I always grab a buggy from the outside and push it in. Because that's one less that guy's got to do. Don't even get me started on now. They got these mechanical things. They sit there and they just walk beside it. Don't even get me started on those things. Don't even get me going there. I'm like, God. By the age of 23, 24, I was getting married. At 25, I had my first brokerage job. Wasn't even in the grocery stores anymore. I always would watch these guys come in their cars, you know, and they'd drive in these nice cars and be dressed. They didn't work. They didn't do nothing. They just walked in, talked to the manager a little bit, let them buy some stuff and order stuff and sell stuff. They'd get in their pretty car and drive to the next one. I thought, I don't know what I have to do, who I have to shoot to get that. But that's where we want to go next. And one day I had a job opening. Elise helped me, see, bringing people into your life. Elise helped me. She did the resume, helped me fix it up, all my experience, all that I'd done. I became the sales rep for Bradford & Company for the whole state of Mississippi. I had 82 stores that I took care of, had a company car, 3 credit cards. It was nice. You're thinking, well, now you've arrived. No, I still am supposed to be a what? So you're missing the point. You're thinking, oh, he's moving up. No, it's levels to get me to the level I'm supposed to get. I moved here to Forest, Mississippi, and guess what job I had? I had a job. It didn't matter where in the state I lived. I could move wherever I wanted to because I was moving, driving anyway. I didn't have to own a car when I moved to Forest, Mississippi. I already had a car. I spent the first 3 years working out of that, paying tithes, helping the church buy the land that you're sitting on right now, giving what I could. Elise got a job. I got a job. We were set. We were going. We were rolling. And then one day God said, come along, and said, Tim, ready for promotion?
Yes, sir.
I want you to quit your job. I remember going to my boss and looking at my boss and saying, I got to quit. Tim, you know what you're doing? How big is your church?
30 people.
Tim, son, just wait. I mean, that church may not work out. I got to quit. So you can hate mother, father, sister, brother. You can't be a disciple. These people are not bad people. They're just looking at it through different glasses. I never look down on them like, why are you saying these mean things? No, you're saying what you can see. But I know what God's called me to, and I have to do what God's called me to. So I quit that and went to Morton, Mississippi, back down into an assistant manager's job. Went backwards. Boy, that didn't make me feel no good. Within a year or so, 2 years, God told me, he said, you got to quit that. What am I going to do now, Lord? Well, your family's always done snow cones. You do snow cones for a while. So for 2 or 3 years, I ran the snow cone right beside the fridge. Anybody remember that years ago? That was my snow cone stand. Most kids in this city, I've filled up with sugar and artificial flavorings. Did all of that for about a year or two. God finally said, time. I don't want you working no more. You're ready. So when I stand here today, you're not looking at somebody that just became the pastor. You're not looking at somebody that just jumped from here and said, oh man, I want to be a preacher. You're looking at somebody that started off pushing buggies. And God said, can you push buggies and not quit? Because there's a lot of days in 90 degrees and I'd walk out there and sweat pouring off me and have to come back inside and wipe it off and put that vest back on and bag groceries and take back out. And somebody would say, I don't see how you do it. And man, in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't either. I ought to quit this job. There's got to be better work than this. There's got to be more than that. God says, can you finish it? Can you stick with it? Yeah, I can. You have to drag my dead body out of this place. Can you hang in there, Tim? I don't even like getting up that early. Used to. Can you get up at 4:30 in the morning, Tim, and bag? Can you get up there with nobody around you? No, you reach the next level. One of the hardest levels in life is when you don't have a boss anymore. I call it self-motivated. Most of us in this room are not self-motivated people. Most of us, if we didn't have to get up, we wouldn't get up. If we didn't have to, if it wasn't somebody that was going to call us or somebody that was going to check on us, we wouldn't do it. And the hardest level to get past is when there is no voice saying you got to do it, but you just do it because you can't stay where you're at. Very rare people. If you make it past that level, then there's another level. Now, can I tell you, at this level, I was happy. I was happy each week. I got that $79 check. I was happy. I thought, hoo-hoo-hoo. Put some gas in my car. But now, was I happy at this level? Was I happy at this level? Was I happy at this level? Do you think I'm happy right now at this level? When I get to take my boat and I get to take the kids for the ride and I get to do all that and we're going to hook up with some more teenagers and take another group and a bunch of kids and we're even going to take each Sunday school class when we get a chance and take them and pull them on the tube and have fun and do all that kind of stuff. You think I'm happy at this level? You darn right I'm happy at this level. I'm not ashamed to look at you and say, I'm a happy man. But I was happy there too. The fact is, happy down there wasn't as happy up here. I didn't have enough experience. I didn't know what it was like to be up here. But I learned to be happy there, and I learned to be happy there. I learned to be at peace right there. I lived at peace. Living with my mom and dad, I was at peace. Now, living up here and never hardly seeing my mom and dad, I'm at peace. See, that's the problem with our lives, is that we do not want to do things in phases. We want it all at one time. I got to close. Running out of time. The second thing. Let it be your course. Let this journey be your course. I hear people say, you remind me a lot of so-and-so, and you remind me, can I tell you, I'm Tim Lott. There is not another Tim Lott in the world. I'm Tim Lott. The stories I just told you, those are Tim Lott stories. Those are my life stories. Don't let somebody decide for you what your course in your life is supposed to be. It will be different than other people. It won't look like everybody else. Your denomination, your group, your whatever, it ain't going to look like what your mom had dreamed for you. It will not look the same. Number three. The hardest thing is that you will always see more than you can finish. I get so tired of people telling me all the time, what do you see, Brother Lott? What do you see? What do you see our church being? What do you see our church? See, that's a loaded question. And I'll explain it to you. That is a loaded question. Because Ecclesiastes 3 says this, I live within a fleshly body, a fleshly time, but I dream eternity. Look at the person beside you and say, I live in a time limit, but I dream eternity. And that's hard for some of us because we get so frustrated because we see so many things. And if we don't live our lives in phases and just accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish, we'll think, well, I can't do that. That's too big. You're right. That's eternity. That may be three generations past you. That may be somebody that you have to pass it on to. It may not even be you that finishes that. That's something God's got. That's something God don't have grandchildren. He just got children. And He's going to pass it from one children to the next child to the next child. That's the way God works. But we are limited by our time and what we can accomplish in our time. I was telling the kids yesterday, I said, it's kind of like a relay race. Jennifer, stand up real quick. All right, me and you are going to be in a relay. All right, stand right there. All right, we're fixing to do a relay. You ready? You know how to do relays. How do you get the baton? How do you get the baton? When you're running, take your shoes off. You got to take your shoes off. See, not prepared for church. See, I can run in my shoes. I'm ready. All right. You know how to get the baton. You ever run a relay? All right. You ready? Go. Oh, no. When you take off running, you don't look at me. You throw that hand back. Don't you worry about me. You don't look at my baton. You just run with that one hand back. That's all I need you to do. So you're not responsible for me. You're only responsible for the next leg of the race. You ready? Go. Life is that way. Life's like a giant relay. God's the only one that gets to see the whole thing. He sits up in there and He sees the whole race. All we see is our short run, our one spot. And where we mess up in life a lot of times is we don't like to pass it off. You ever see, and people ask me, when are you going to quit? 60? I done told y'all that 1,000 times. 59, 60, I'll be through. And that's still 18, 20 years. I mean, it ain't like I'm going to quit anytime soon. But I'll be through. You're like, no. But see, you don't think right. I think eternity. I'm going to run. But what if I told Jennifer, no, I ain't giving you this baton. I'm going to run the next 100 too. Oh, Lord. I'm not tired. How crazy is that? This next guy running is fresh. He's ready to go, and he's looking over at me like, why didn't you give that baton away? It's my baton. I fought hard for this baton. I ain't giving it to nobody. I seen preachers 65, 70 years old in that pulpit. Is he coming with me this morning? To Ecclesiastes, that's where we're going to be. And I'm thinking, give the baton to somebody.
Give it and go.
Now, I know it hurts their feelings. But your run is over. You ran well. You ran good. You have eternity in your eyes. That's the problem. You can see what is and you can see eternity, but you living in a fleshly body and your body can't keep up with eternity. So what I have to understand is in my life that I'm supposed to run, and what I'm looking for all the time. So Jennifer's my buddy as well as church member. She's my friend. You know why? Because she knows my rhythm. I am not an easy person to hang around. I am not even fun to be around most of the time. I'm a pusher. You don't get anywhere without pushing. Somebody's got to do some pushing. I'm the pusher. I'm the one that walks in on the morning. What are y'all doing? Why are y'all sitting around? I'll walk in, pick at them. I'll fire all of y'all. Go up here and hire all new people. Look at her and my wife, and then I'm firing both of y'all. I can get more work out of somebody else. No, you can't. They just go right back in. But they know me. I'm pushing. I've only got a short period of time before I don't run no more. And if you can't keep my rhythm, we can't run together. People mess up so many times by hooking themselves on to people who don't care about your rhythm. People get married to people that don't have your rhythm. And let's two be in agreement together. Unless they're going the same direction, they can't walk together. And it works the same in life. I'm looking for somebody who says, you know what? I like music. Jennifer, can you take music and can you do what I can't do? You're supposed to run further than me. I've done run out of gas. I've been doing music and I done led choir and I done my day was over. I'm a lead singer, Jennifer. I can't do parts and I can't do all that. I don't understand all the parts and stuff that you put together. I don't know how to do an ensemble. I don't know how to do. All I was used to is you just played that piano and I stood up in front with that mic, buddy, and I bellowed it out. I'm a lead singer. Just let me rip. Can you take this? I got it about as far as I can take it. That ain't my music. That's not my church. That's God's word. Can you take it further? And in your life, you'll see things through eyes of destiny. But you're in a fleshly body. Young person, you're young now, but time is still ticking. It don't seem like that many years ago I was bagging groceries. And there's a part of me that still wishes I could go back. Because I was happy there. But I've been gone from level to level to level. And I got eternity in my eyes. I have dreams for some of you kids and things you can do and be. I may not live to see it. Don't mean I can't dream it. Every one of us in this room this morning, it begins with the experiences in your life which lead you into destinies in your life. But those destinies are only levels to take you to another level so that you can accomplish everything God's called you to before your time. Will you stand?